Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host, and I want to give thanks to Don Newsom and Seth over at BBS Radio for providing us with this wonderful platform to raise consciousness using positive media. Speaking of positive media and somebody who's a leader and visionary in his own right, I have tonight my guest is Joe Nunziata. Remember that name, Nunziata, and his website address, being this is internet radio, is spiritualselling.com, www.spiritualselling.com. And another fun way to get to that very same website is to go to jnunziata.com. That's J-N-U-N-Z-I-A-T-A.com. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background on Joe Nunziata, who I've known now for a couple of years and watching him grow and evolve and expand into the leader that he is. Joe Nunziata is an internationally known speaker and best-selling author. He has been delivering his life-changing message at events and seminars since 1992. Joe has been working in the areas of personal development and human potential for over 20 years. His unique blend of spirituality, psychology, philosophy, and the power of energy results in revolutionary new programs and seminars. Joe has always recognized the importance of working from within. He teaches that to be truly successful, you must make powerful changes and break destructive patterns and behaviors. Boy, is that ever true, because if what you think about, you bring about. These unconscious patterns are connected to deep emotional energy that must be changed to facilitate long-term success in all areas of life. Joe's new best-selling book, Spiritual Selling, was released in August of 2007. This book combines powerful spiritual concepts with proven sales strategies. This new sales philosophy is being embraced by many entrepreneurs and corporations in today's business community. His other books and programs include No More Mental Barriers, No More 9-to-5, and The 7 Keys to Transformation. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on for you Joe Nunziata.
Hey, I love the way you said that.
I love the way I say that, too. I can't stop saying Nunziata.
Oh, boy.
So, again, the website is spiritualselling.com. If you want to pull that up on your computers while I'm interviewing Joe, and what I'm going to do is give everybody the call-in number now so that you can just call in, ask any question you want as Joe and I are speaking. He's going to be coming to Los Angeles for those of you who are Los Angelians, and I'll give you that information along the way. The call-in numbers are toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227, and toll-free in Canada, 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. So, Joe, what's going on?
Well, you know, a lot of things are going on. As you know, we have a crazy world right now with the economy and everybody's going nuts. So it's a very, I see it as a very exciting time, as you and I got to chat when I interviewed you a month or so ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a very interesting time. And of course, for people who do this kind of work, like you and myself, I think it's important for us to set the foundation for people to move past this and understand that this is a great opportunity and not get into a panic and start to get into all the, and start to really read the newspapers and get, you know, watching TV. And I live in New York, so, it's, you know, everything is around Wall Street, so everybody here is going crazy. But I think it's a time for everybody to really reevaluate themselves, what they're doing, what they feel is important. And then this is a time of change. So whenever there's a change that happens in the world, we go through, of course, there's always some disruption. So what I say to people now is embrace the disruption as opposed to fearing the disruption, because before a creation, before something happens, before a child is born, there's a disruption.
Mm-hmm.
So embrace it as rebirth as opposed to fearing and being nervous and panicked. And this is a time that we're all going to be challenged. And those of us who are able to be calm and kind of deal with this in a positive way, I think are going to be amazed at how wonderful it will be when we come through it.
Exactly. And like you and I were chatting about when I was on your show, it's called Impact Monthly, correct?
Yes.
Do a free tele-interview for listeners to listen. We had quite a few people on that night. And,
yes,
you know, as you're discussing the economy right now, I did share with you then that I don't watch the news and I don't follow what's going on because I don't need to get myself all wound up and into a downward spiral. What I'm endeavoring to keep myself doing is to be in an upward spiral and keep setting people around me and my environment up to win by helping them to remember to believe in themselves and that God didn't bring you this far to drop you. And when there's change like this going on, it's an awesome opportunity to get really creative and find new ways to make income. It's a great opportunity to finally get in touch with your purpose and find a way to make money. Exactly that. So what you're saying is absolutely right on. And to tell everyone around Wall Street to be calm, remain calm, just watch what happens. So, you probably run very fast, right, if you say that at a party and everybody's wanting to be negative and you come in and say, just calm down, everybody. This is a good thing. It's expansion. You know?
Well, you know, what's funny about that, you know, I have a lot of friends that who work down there because, of course, I grew up here in from New York, and a lot of my friends who were very successful and went down there and made a lot of money. And it's amazing to hear them and listen to them talk to me about this because they're kind of, these are people who make a tremendous amount of money, and all of a sudden this year they didn't get their bonus and this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
And it's amazing to see how people, regardless of their circumstance, can see themselves as victims.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So you have people here who are losing their jobs and they can't pay their mortgages and all these kind of things. But one of the things I always say to everybody is everything is from the individual person's perspective. So from their perspective, they're saying, hey, I didn't get my six-figure bonus, and it's affecting my life. And they're looking at it and saying, well, I'm not one of these guys who took hundreds of millions of dollars. But for them, they're seeing themselves as they're being victimized by this situation. So it's very interesting to see how everybody views the situations from their viewpoint. It's a very powerful lesson for all of us to say everybody looks at it through their glasses and sees it the way they want to see it. So
Yeah. These
guys are looking at it that way and seeing themselves as, oh, look at poor me. I didn't get my $250,000 bonus this year. And the average person is sitting there saying, what are you, crazy? but it is a perspective issue.
Yeah, you could feed a small country on $250,000 for a few years. No, I totally hear what you're saying. And, you know, as I was sharing with you before, you know, people see the world not as the world is, but as they are. And even that is a great opportunity to find out what's running your life. And if you're getting all of your power from sources outside yourself instead of inside yourself, then you are subject to fail and fall and go broke. But if you're getting all of your power and everything you need from inside yourself, the circumstances outside of you will match up vibrationally to what's going on inside of you. Do you follow?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really comes down to when these things happen to us, do we take the lesson or do we move into the victim energy? And this is, of course, a very critical part of the work that I do with people. We do chakra work and clearing work. So the idea behind this is to say, okay, I've gone through this difficult situation. Am I going to understand that this is a learning experience for me, or am I going to move into the mode of a victim and feel like, poor me, look what happened to me? And, of course, as we know, if we don't embrace these situations and say, okay, I have to really deal with this, regardless of what's going on, and understand that there's a lesson to be derived from this, and let me look at this and how my life is being affected, and what can I do now? What is the thing that I can extract? Then it becomes a powerful situation. But, as you know, many people will not do that. They will move into the fear-based victim energy, and then they will hold that vibration of energy. And then we're going to create now, and this is what I'm excited about, because what I really would like to see, and what I think will come out of this in the long term, I don't mean in 2 days, but I would like to see a redistribution of wealth. Now, when we look at the wealth distribution, which has been going on forever, by the way, 95% of the wealth is controlled by 5% of the people, as we know.
Okay.
And actually, 96% of the wealth in our country is controlled by 1% of the people. So when you look at this, and people look at what Obama's doing or look at socialism and all these ideas or concepts that he's throwing out there, my issue here is this. This is not about giving people money. This is about empowering people to create wealth. So what we want to do is bring the energy to more people so that they can create more success. It's not about handing them checks. But what's going to happen is when this big disruption happens, and it was funny because I just came back from vacation in Puerto Rico, and we have a friend of ours who's an older gentleman who's been in real estate business for many years, and he's the third generation. He's in his 70s now. Owns, you know, millions of dollars of real estate. And we were talking, and I said, what do you think about all this as far as, because he's been through all the recessions and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, I'm looking at 2 to 5 years before this even starts to really come, where we really start to come out of this in a big way. And he's looking at it, of course, from that perspective, real estate and so forth. But I said, what do you think about opportunities? He said, well, I have to tell you, I have a lot of tenants, and I'm seeing my tenants that do services and that provide people with all these different, like the guy who repairs shoes and the person who fixes appliances and the person who does this, all this different. These guys are really busy because people have reshuffled their attention and say, well, instead of buying new shoes, I'll fix my old shoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's always opportunity here. And what will happen is, as the wealth is taken away to a degree from all these bankers and the way these people, the people who are sitting there saying, you know what, I always wanted to start a business. I always wanted to do something on my own. I always wanted to do something to help the community. These are the opportunities that are going to be there now for people to go out and start to create this success for themselves. And that is how, little by little, the wealth will become distributed in a much more even manner.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do now is empower people to say, hey, you know what? You've always had this passion. You've always had this skill set. You've always had these ideas of doing these things. This is the time to do it. Because this, and people will look at you now and say, this is not a time to start a business, and I tell you the total opposite.
Yes.
It's the perfect time to do something new, because this is when, and a lot of people are being forced into it, which is also a good thing, because a lot of people will never do it unless they're forced into it.
Exactly.
So it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. It already is. And, you know, when I say, it sounds so simple when I say you come from the inside and you get your vibration on the inside to match what you're going to attract, a vibration to equal that on the outside. It sounds like an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. You know very, very well, Joe, how hard it is to shift and change negative thinking into pure faith, from going from fear to faith. It's not an easy trip, and a lot of people have to face and fight a lot of demons to get that fear-based thinking and negative thinking out of their way, and that victim mentality out of their way. And when somebody lives in a victim mentality, a good chance that they don't even know they're living that way. And what those kinds of people do is attract victimizers. And right now, for a lot of the victims, it's the economy. So this victimizer is causing the victim to be helpless and say, I don't know what to do, I'm resigned, I don't know where to go. You know, it's keeping them like chasing their tail. When you stop looking at yourself as a victim, then what you will find is that you've been a volunteer and not a victim at all. And when you find out you've been a volunteer, then you've got some freedom to shift and go, wait a minute, I volunteered for that, to feel that way. I'm not a victim at all. Some pretty bad things happen, but that doesn't mean I have to be a victim about it. And my next question for you, Joe, would be, when people are feeling like, yes, this situation is bad, all these things are going on in my life, how do you get them to shift from victim to thriver?
I think that's the hardest transition in the world, and I think we all face that. So everybody's been a victim at one point in their life, and we've all gone through that feeling of feeling like a victim. We're in a society that perpetuates feeling like a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of our society. That's part of how we function. That's part of what we're trained and conditioned to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line here for us is to understand that you have to accept what is happening at the moment and accept those feelings. So you may feel at the moment like a real loser. You may feel like, wow, I really screwed up. You may, you know, whatever feelings you have, you know, when you clear energy, it's about owning the feeling that you have at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that feeling has to be flushed out, because that's the way it gets flushed out of the chakra. So if you're not going to accept your feeling, you're going to be trapped in a state of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, what I say to people is this: how do you feel about what's going on? And I want to get them past the anger part, because the anger is not really the feeling. It's just kind of their reactionary portion of them. But get them deeper into how this is making them feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to bring up these deep-seated fears and these deep-seated pieces of anxiety, or whatever you want to call it, that they've been holding on to for a very, very long time. So we want to begin by saying, okay, a couple of things. I have to accept where I am. I have to deal with my feelings, and most importantly, if you want to move forward out of the victim mindset and mentality and feeling, is you have to see yourself as the creator of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe that you're not creating everything at every single moment,
mm-hmm.
you can't go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say to me, you're telling me I created the recession, and I say to them, well, you know what? You have to see yourself as that powerful.
Right.
Because you created the recession for the feelings that you have to feel now.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to see yourself that way. So that means, and let's look at the other side, everything's yin-yang. if you created the recession, you can create the recovery.
Yes.
So, but if you don't see yourself that way, now think about it. If every person got up tomorrow and said, you know what, I'm going to create the recovery, and we all had that same energy, the recovery would happen immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But too many people now are in a mentality of gloom and doom. So we need more people to say, hey, I could create the recovery because I was part of creating this negative side, so I can now create the other side because that's what energy is all about. So that's how you have to see yourself. Because when people say, well, it's not my fault. I don't work on Wall Street. I'm not involved in real estate. I said, I don't care because your energy is part of the collective energy of the world. We all created everything. So you have to see yourself as that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard thing for people to wrap their heads around because they don't see themselves as that powerful. They see themselves as little specks. And that's not what they are.
Yep. And one of the greatest things we can do for ourselves is to get how powerful we really are. And if we really got how powerful we are, we would change our thinking so fast.
And it's a scary place for people to go.
Exactly. And it's mandatory. What you think about, you do bring about. And for me today, I've noticed that one thing that's been on my to-do list for a very long time that I haven't sat down and done yet is a 5-minute meditation in the morning where I just sit still and just let whatever's in my head and my body be there and just go about looking at my day the way I want to create it for myself, right down to how I feel about how I feel. Am I accepting feelings that are scary? Am I digging up stuff within me that I haven't wanted to look at? Am I being a willing participant in the creation of my day? And to sit down and create step by step, what kind of day I want to have, what kind of driver I want to be, what kind of human I want to be, what kind of mother I want to be, what kind of employee, employer, whatever I am, what kind of consciousness do I want to have in my day, and what do I want to attract in my day? And when you sit down and spend about 5 minutes on making a mental list from within of how you want the day to go, more often than not, it will show up because of your willingness to get out of your own way, and you declared it before your day started. So do you do a lot of that in your work, too?
Well, I meditate twice a day myself, and one of the things I do in my events or workshops and any even working with clients or one-on-one or whatever it is, a tremendous amount of meditation work. And what was a couple of things I like to do with people. One is I like most people, when you sit down with them and you say, what is it that you want, they really can't answer that question. They kind of, you know, everybody thinks they know, but when you sit down and say, really write it down, tell me, I want you to write it down. There's something about for us as human beings writing something down that has a lot of weight.
Yes.
So my feeling with everybody is tell me what it is that you want. I'm actually introducing something that I will be doing out in California here and in New York this month, which is called my Prescription for Peace.
Mm.
And the Prescription for Peace came out of my own illness that happened in January of this year. But so, which of course is how creation happens sometimes. But one of the things that I do as I go through the process is showing people about their identity, which is of course a big part of this factor. And then we go from releasing identity into creation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to create, you have to know what it is you want to create. So if you went to Walt Disney and you said, Walt, what is it that you want to do here with Disney World or Disneyland, when he started out there in California and then went to Florida, or even before that with all his films and movies, or any creative person, mm-hmm. they know what it is that they're wanting to create. So mm-hmm. therefore, then they can visualize and create it, because from internally, if you talk even about an artist who looks at a blank canvas, even though he may not know in his mind exactly, he knows that there's something coming from within him that he wants to create. So he understands that he wants to create something on that canvas. So what we have to do first is say, what is it that I want to do with my life here? What is it? Is specifically, let's get very specific. What is it that you want to do? And then we want to, of course, always retain a level of flexibility, because sometimes what we may think at the moment will be just a little piece of where the universe wants us to go. One of the things that blocks a lot of people is they are not open and flexible to something that came into their life that was really something that caught them by surprise. And I'm a perfect example of that, because I have to tell you, that in a million years, if you would have said to me 10 years ago or even 6 to 7 years ago that you're going to go out and write a book called Spiritual Selling, and you're going to do chakra clearing, healing work, and you're going to be able to heal people's energy and show them how to do this, I would have told you were a crack addict. So, but this came into my life, and it became a part of my life, and I was able to integrate it into my business teaching. So it was something that I totally did not expect, but I was open to receive it. So I always say to people, you may be on a path, and you may be thinking that's the direction you're going, and all of a sudden the universe comes and says, you know what? Yeah, that's all really good, but I want you to go a little bit over here because this is really where you have to be open to those things. So creation is what we're here to do. We're here to create. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do, but we have to be clear about what it is that we're trying to create. What is it that I want to do? And I will tell you, Kate, and you probably experienced this yourself, most people cannot answer that question because they're so caught up in their day-to-day activity, just trying to get through the day or the week or the month, that they don't think of it in a larger picture. They think of it in a very small window, in a linear window. And mm-hmm. that holds them back. That really holds people back. And it does not allow them to expand their creativity and expand their mind so they can move to another level.
Well,
so that's really important for people.
Yeah, if you put yourself in a box, you're only going to be able to expand within the space of the box. You know, if you think outside of the box, you're not going to be in there in the first place.
Yeah, you don't want to get caught up in that limitation of thinking, as it does stop you from going.
Truly, and I want to just say that I know you had an incredible mentor to get you on this path. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a lot of mentors, but my last one was a very powerful woman who was a spiritual healer, who was also a person who's a psychic and a medium who read chakras and taught me how to clear chakra energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where the student is ready kind of thing.
Exactly.
And I think we all go through that. And people say, you know, when I was doing the work with her, my first thought was, wow, I wish I would have learned this 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then my second thought was, you wouldn't have known what to do with it 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Yep.
When people say things to me, and I think a lot of people, and myself included, because we've all been down this road,
mm-hmm.
get very frustrated, and they say, well, you know, I've done all this stuff, and, you know, all of a sudden, and now I'm finally learning this, or I'm finally doing this. I wish I would have done this before. You don't want to beat yourself up. You want to understand that everything is synchronistically planned for you
yes.
based on your development at that stage.
Yes.
So, and I also believe that every single person needs some, at some point, if you really want to go toward a level of high enlightenment, I think there's virtual, I mean, and obviously there's exceptions to every rule, but I would say overall, you will need some help. You're going to need some help, some guidance, some assistance. Now, one of the things that's going on now, as you know, because we're in this field,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of teachers out there. There's a lot of stuff. And a lot of it is fabulous, and a lot of it is not fabulous. So what I say to people is, go out there, test the waters a little bit, find one person, maybe two people at most, that you really like, and stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the deal. You start going out there, and I've talked to these people, I know you have too, who can't read enough books, who can't wait for the next thing to read, who are looking for the next magic pill.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is, this is all the same stuff. None of us invented it.
Mm-hmm.
We all came out here. We're all putting it into the market in our own unique style.
Mm-hmm.
And all we want to do, it's like a flavor of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say to yourself, let me find someone whose style resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is let me follow that, maybe one or two people that I really like, and let them take me to the promised land. Because if you start getting involved with every single newest, greatest, latest, and greatest person and idea and concept and thought, and, you know, we talk to these people. They go from NLP. They go into tapping. They go into this. You go into 500 different, and you never get traction. You never go forward. So
right.
great with my work with my teacher was, I worked exclusively just with her for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all I learned was how her method of going through this, going through the chakra work, going through the healing, going through the clearing work, how she did it, and I didn't get distracted by all these other things. And
right.
that was powerful. And I said it to people all the time. Don't start, you know, you do a little due diligence, do a little homework, but then once you get on a beam with somebody and you feel positive and it's moving in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
stay there.
Yep, where there's flow.
Yeah, just keep working with, because you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Right, right. I know with actors, Joe, they'll stick with the same acting coach for, like, way, way too long. I mean, you know, an acting coach can be a great mentor for actors, and if they stick with the same coach for more than 5 years, they're just going to be getting stagnated. They need to then go to another person they resonate with that has even more of what they want for themselves and stick with that person. But you can get caught up. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and you spent just the right amount of time with your mentor.
Right,
and there is a situation where you can spend too much time with one mentor, and it's good to notice that you are going lateral instead of up, instead of growing and expanding, you've now become lateral, and to have the awareness to realize that you've become lateral, you become restless then, and it's time then to seek out a new mentor who vibrates at a much higher frequency than the one that you just worked with. And that's not to say anything bad about the one a person just worked with. It's just a matter of how high do you want your frequency to go in this lifetime. For me personally, I want to vibrate on the frequency of God. That's the vibration frequency I want to meet and reach. And if I'm, when I'm being human animal instead of human spirit, I need to learn to love myself and accept myself in those moments that I am human animal where I get mad at someone because they're being mean to someone I love. That's a hard one. And I know I'm being human animal when I get mad at that person. And to be human spirit would mean that I look at, they just have some issues that they're trying to work out. And what part of me is mirroring that part of them that's upsetting me? What part of me have I disowned that they are triggering in me, that I've disowned? And look for that and then find a way to accept it and embrace it and just move through it. So the work that you're doing on a spiritual selling, marketing, one of the dog eat dog most, you know, paths that you could be on about marketing and selling. I mean, it's very, very difficult. And you have started for yourself, Joe, a progressive way to get the information out there. And that took so much courage. That took so much desire and passion. That took so much desire to turn that ship around that was your life, that turned you in this direction of a spiritual path to the point where you love what you do so much that it gives you vitality. You could do it all day. It lights you up, and you'll never get tired of it. And all you can think of is how can you expand it. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I think what happens is, you know, people always said to me, that was, wow, they read the book, and say, I can't believe you wrote a book like that. That's very courageous. And, you know, I kind of looked at it as, well, that was my next step. So I never saw it that way. I just kind of said, oh, I'm just going to write this book, and this feels, back to feeling, but this feels like the right thing to do.
It's your purpose.
Yeah, and that just felt like, okay, at this time, that's what I'm going to write. And I knew, even when I was writing it, which was 2006, as I was finishing it at the end of the year for a 2007 release, you know, it takes a while for the publisher, I knew that I was 5 years ahead. I said, I'm 5 years ahead before this will even become mainstream. Mm-hmm. But it had to be done. It's like anything else in the world. You have to be out there for a while before it's, you know, you want to kind of be there when it arrives. But one of the things you talked about, the teachers and the acting coaches and so mm-hmm. forth, one of the things that I think is important for everybody to understand when you're going to work with somebody is a really great teacher, the objective of that teacher is to empower you to be able to move to a very high level on your own. So when a teacher is looking to keep you there for, like, which is what happens with a lot of people in therapy, where they go for 20 years and they're telling the same story 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is we want to understand that the teacher's mission is to empower the person so that the person can now go out and do whatever it is that they want to do because they have now become powerful.
Yeah,
so that is the objective. So that's at the end. Be very careful. When someone, and I've run into this a lot with people when they ask me these questions, when someone wants you to believe that they have the answer, run. Do not walk, run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the bottom line is they want to control you.
Mm-hmm.
And my objective with people is to say, I don't have the answer, but I'll help you get the answer out of yourself. Because that's what it's about. It's about me showing you a path where you say, oh, wow, I can actually do this myself. And I'm really that powerful. And
mm-hmm.
people get afraid. They say, why would you want to do that? Wouldn't you want to be having people always having to call you up? I said, no, because the idea of energy vibration is the more people that I can light up that way, the more people that they can affect, and the faster we increase the vibration of the planet. So the idea of, and this is part of the mentality that got us in trouble. The wealthy people always hid all of their secrets from everybody else. Because what was their fear? That if everybody knows it, it'll somehow take the wealth away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what created the situation we have now. So this is why we want to move in a different direction.
Well, what I was really wanting to convey to you, Joe, and what I said before, you just said that beautiful, wonderful thing that you just now conveyed, is that you are living proof that one person can make a difference. That person was going to be you to create a book called Spiritual Selling and to find a spiritual way to get people to be lit up about themselves first so that they can find a product to be lit up about to sell in the world that will cause other people to get lit up. So what you've done with what you're doing is showing everyone as a template that one person can make a difference. And I know that there were many wonderful people on your path that helped put you here and helped, you know, shepherd you into where you are now. And it did take something very strong within yourself to know that one person could make a difference. And that's what I mean by the courage to know that that was you. And to listen to that small voice and let it get louder until you acted on it and accomplished getting this book published and these other many wonderful things that, that you're doing and now speaking in all these places. It's only just the tip of the iceberg. I'm so excited for what's coming for you in your life and how much you're going to be able to make a difference in the world beyond what you've done already. And if you didn't do one more thing, you've already done plenty.
Well, you know, I was having this conversation at lunch with a few people the other day, and so we were talking about what would happen if today was your last day. And I don't know how the conversation came up. It was one of those philosophical discussions. And I said, well, you know what? I said, if today was my last day, I would walk away feeling pretty good right now. Because mm-hmm. I've accomplished more probably than I ever thought I would. So, and that said, there's not more that I feel like I want to do. But, you know, the one thing I want people to understand, and I think it's critical that all of us, anybody who does anything in life, regardless of what it is you want to show your warts and you want to show your issues that happened for you. And, mm-hmm. you know, I fought depression when things were not going well for me, and I've still gone through those because that's one of my core karmic issues mm-hmm. Business-wise. I have gone through, you know, bouts of depression. I have gone through areas, times when I thought I wasn't going to make it. I have gone through feelings of suicide, mm-hmm. you know. So these are all feelings that are presented to us along the path. So mm-hmm. It's important for people, I think, especially people who have done this and maybe, oh, yeah, you have a book and now everything, you're doing this and you're doing that. But everybody who is out there now doing something has gone through a lot of feelings and emotions and feeling like, hey, it's not going to happen or it won't work. And many of the people I've spoken to who, you know, been in the secret and very successful at all areas of business have all gone through this. Mm-hmm. So you want people to understand that. This is part of the process. When you're going to challenge yourself and you want to create a life that is more than the average, I'm mailing it in, I'm getting a job, I'm going home, I'm going to just accept mediocre and be safe. When you decide to take this road, as my teacher used to say to me, one of my teachers used to say, the high road is the hard road.
Mm-hmm.
So when you choose the high road, when you choose this road of I'm going to take this extraordinary road, but there's a lot of bumps and bruises along the way to get to where you want to go. And I want people to understand that. And I don't say this to scare people or to be negative. I just say it to accept every phase as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you said something to me that was great when we did our call,
mm-hmm.
and you said, which I loved, you said, what is perfect about my situation right now?
Yep.
And I just loved that comment because it was like, okay, if I took every situation that way,
mm-hmm.
how different would my life be?
Completely different. Completely.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. So I mean, that was a gift for me that night and everybody who was listening, and I got a ton of emails after our call. And one of the things, of course, that was powerful for people is to understand that, okay, once I make this decision to go down this road,
mm-hmm.
let me buckle up.
Yep.
Because it will be wrought with challenges, and
yep.
just be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Make your life easier.
Mm-hmm.
To make your life easier.
Right, right. And you know, I put as tonight's topic for this call is, it's not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. And if you don't go within, you're going to go without. And basically, in a nutshell, that's pretty much what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, you can take this any way you want. You can approach this any way you want. And if you decide that you want to go the safe road, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I'm not here, and one of the things that I was the most judgmental person you ever met in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, just one of those people. I grew up that way. I was that way. That was the way I lived my life.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, now I'm like, hey, you know what? If that's what you want to do and you feel good about it, that's
mm-hmm.
great. You know, and that's what you want to do, and that's how you want to live, and that's how you want to go through your life, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're unhappy, you deserve to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're unhappy, that means there's a block or an obstacle that you have to deal with. And
mm-hmm.
if you have physical problems in it, or if you have alcohol problems, or if you have eating problems, or whatever issues you have that are manifesting that way because you're not dealing with your feelings,
yes,
then that means you're not happy.
Yep.
So, and a lot of people, I think, have kind of gone down that road and mailed it in,
mm-hmm.
but they're not happy.
Right.
So.
One thing that's that I've been noticing in this field of work that you're in, that I'm in also as a coach, is if somebody's not willing, then you need to walk away from them because there's no way you're going to make them willing. They have to get to such a corner they're pushed into to want to come out swinging and say yes to life finally. And what's going on in the world right now with the economy, with relationships, with God only knows the multitude of things that are happening that are challenging for people in their lives right now. And we can blame it all on the economy if we want to, but that's not what it is. It's we each have our own cross to bear. Like you said for yourself, your karmic past energy happens to include depression in it. So you just happen to know that about yourself, and you accept it. And when it comes about, you can understand it, take it apart, look at it, and move through it much more quickly, yes?
Yeah, well, I think also, part you just said the word. The magic part is acceptance. So one of the things that I used to, that I had to do to break out of it, and I still go through it like everybody else, but what, the main thing that I did to really break myself out of it for the most part was sit here. I remember, I'll never forget, I sat down, I was sitting in a meditative state, and I actually said to myself, I really like this whole being depressed thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat here and I said, I really like this. This is something I really kind of enjoy. And just by saying the words, and I actually said it out loud. I was sitting quietly in my house and I was meditating. And I sat there and said, you know, I really like this. This is a part of me that's become so ingrained that I'm enjoying it. I really like it. It's part of who I am. And once I did that, I actually, it was almost like you put light on something that was in the darkness, and it started to dissolve
mm-hmm.
because it took away the power of resisting it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very powerful thing that I do with people. And I say, okay, you're feeling depressed, are you feeling this way? And I had a woman I was working with recently who she was talking to me about her. She's lonely and she can't meet anyone, and all the men she meets are this and this is, and they're all unavailable. And we started mm-hmm. going through all this stuff, and she was telling me about her struggles and her problems. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, listen, I know you really, I want you to just sit there and really talk about how much you like all this and tell me why it's so much fun for you. And she went crazy.
Mm.
And she said, what are you talking about fun for me? I'm working with you because I don't want to do this anymore. But I said, but you keep creating it, so you must like it on some level, or else you wouldn't be creating it anymore. And she was very, very, she actually hung up the phone on me. And
oh.
I said, you're paying me all this money and now you're hanging up on me. But the next day she called me back and she said, you know, I was so upset because you hit such a button in me and you
yep.
hit such a place of truth
mm-hmm.
that, because we had been working together a little bit for a while before that. I said, you hit such a place within me that really struck a chord with me that it really upset me. And I knew that, she said, even though I was upset, I knew it was a good thing. So she was able to come around and sit with that feeling. So what we have to understand is we all have addictions to these certain feelings that we've been dealing with our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner we accept it, it's like the alcoholic who sits there and says, you know, I have it under control.
Yeah.
And you don't have it under control, mm-hmm. or you wouldn't be an alcoholic. So for me to say, hey, you know what, I don't have it under control. I like being depressed. That's part of me. I like that struggle feeling. I like that feeling of stress. I like the, and it's almost like people get addicted to that adrenaline or that energy that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is say, hey, you know what, let me accept it. Let me make it almost comical, because it actually becomes funny then.
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that you apply wit and wisdom, levity and love, to breaking through your challenges. And I know that feelings buried alive never die. So the best thing any of us can do is to go looking for the feelings we've buried alive, exhume them, and accept them, make them a part of us, integrate, and have fun with them. Because what I'm hearing you say is exactly the same things that I do. That's how I came to what's perfect about this, is there is a certain, like I said earlier, I become human animal because I get mad at people who hurt people I love, you know, and that's just like such an issue and a hot button for me. And it totally throws me into human animal. And I catch myself in the middle of wanting to just go ghetto on somebody, and I have to laugh that I'm actually, you know, I could light up Los Angeles with the energy I'm feeling about that, and then I catch myself in the middle of it, and it becomes very funny to me that I am that powerful. And then I, you know, when you find out that you're that powerful, you start to little by little want to apply that power to things that actually benefit you instead of bring you down or like a lead balloon, not let you gain liftoff into your true nature. So to use wit and wisdom, levity and love like you do about your depression is a wonderful, wonderful lesson for all of us to take on and listen to and apply to our lives. And every person who's listening right now, if you were to take the hardest thing you're dealing with in life right now, be it an addiction, addicted to a person, a thing, or whatever it is, something that's not letting you live your greatness, if you put that thing at the top of your gratitude list, it will become a gift to you, and you'll start to see the wisdom and why it's in your life. And it will eventually become funny. I mean, how often, Joe, have you done something in your life or something was done to you that you really did not think was funny at the time, but in hindsight, it's hilarious?
Oh, now the things that used to really get me crazy, which of course is the ego trying to control everything. So mm-hmm. the minute you are able to start to get rid of your identity, which is a lot of the work I'm doing now with people, mm-hmm. is the minute you're able to really see your identity, understand your identity and how it's serving you right now, and then say, okay, I have to now get rid of this identity, because all the things that are triggering you off are based on the ego's desire to control. So once you, now obviously this is easy to say these things, it's, as you said earlier, it's the practical application becomes a little more involved, but basically, once you start to see that these things really don't do anything good for you, say, well, it doesn't help me to get upset over somebody. I was doing a seminar in New York a couple of years ago, and a woman came up to me, and she was in her 40s, attractive Asian woman, and she said, you know, I have to talk to you about my sister, and I said, well, what? Sister, she's my older sister, and you know, my mother is sick, and my father passed away, and she doesn't do anything, and she doesn't help anybody. She went through this whole tirade.
Right.
So I said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe, how old is your sister? She's 46 years old. And I said, do you believe that your sister is going to change her behavior now? And she looked at me like I was crazy, and she said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, why are you getting so upset about it? You already know what she's going to do. Why are you resisting that whole situation? How is that helping you to do that and create conflict? And, you know, she kind of walked away from me almost like with her head spinning around, and she realized it. She sent me an email a couple of weeks later and said, I can't tell you that little comment that you made to me has made such a, and I, you know, I just kind of set it off the cuff, mm-hmm. but it was just brought her to an enlightenment to say, oh, okay, this is who my sister is. I have two choices. I could fight with her for the rest of my life
mm-hmm.
or accept her. And she said to me in the email, which was only a few weeks later, she said, I really backed off of her, and I really left her alone. All I was ever doing was complaining and yelling at her and telling her what she wasn't doing. And she said, I have to tell you, she has really stepped up dramatically to help out now. So this is the irony of the whole situation.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Is that what you're fighting and fighting and fighting to accomplish is not necessary once you accept what is, and then all the pieces of the puzzle start to come in front of you. But we go through life fighting everything, trying to mm-hmm. be right and trying to battle through it. And her recognition of that and her just saying, oh, okay, this is my sister, this is what she's going to do, let me do what I can do and just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it all just worked out for her in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you the power that you have with energy once you're able to make that shift and move into a different place.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you did was you were her messenger that day, most definitely.
Absolutely.
And you trusted yourself with what came to you, and you said it to her because that's the way people channel. I've caught you channeling a few times already, and what I mean by that is your higher self feeds you information about what it is you're dealing with a person who's standing in front of you in one of your seminars or a phone call or who you're coaching or whatever it is. Your higher self is the part of you you're really tapped into most, and that's a source of wisdom that is absolutely infinite. There is no limits to that kind of wisdom. And when you tap in to that kind of wisdom, that's when you're really, really making a difference in people's lives, because you intuitively know what they need, and you bring that forth and you provide it, and you don't second guess yourself. And that, I know what that took for you to get to the place that you can do that. It took appreciating your warts and all. It took admitting that you're human. It took a lot of struggle and challenge. It took feeling suicidal at some points in your life. It took all those things to polish the diamond that you are, because all of us are a diamond in the raw. And the hard challenges is the polishing factor that brings us to our brilliance. And, you know, if I can just mention something about the metamorphosis of a butterfly, there was a person who had a cocoon on a tree limb in his house, that he saw the caterpillar build it. Caterpillar stayed in it. He watched it every day. He took pictures. And then one day, the caterpillar started to emerge. And as it was chewing away the cocoon and trying to get out, he watched it and watched it. He felt so sorry for this little creature that he took a pair of little manicure scissors and he trimmed around the edges of where it was trying to struggle to get out. And he made the hole big enough so it could just crawl right out. And when it crawled out, it walked out onto the limb and hung there. And its wings looked very crippled and deformed, and it never did fly. Well, the reason that it didn't fly is because it needed the struggle to push the imagining cells into its wings to make them fully developed and whole. And because he made it easier for the butterfly to come out, it never did get to have that struggle to push the imagining cells into the wings, and it never flew. So that's a beautiful metaphor for what we are all going through, our process is. And these challenging times right now are pure expansion, pure opportunity, pure possibility, as you were saying. And I just really hope that every person listening right now can, I mean, it costs you nothing to believe. It costs you everything if you don't. I mean, what would it cost you to believe that this is true?
You know, and I think one of the things you said earlier when we first started talking tonight about trust, and I, you know, one of those, it's a very important factor, like where you begin to trust yourself enough to have that confidence and that feeling of, because that's really the power.
Mm-hmm.
The power is you trusting yourself. And I remember when I would speak in the early days, when I first started doing this many years ago, I had to have everything written out and outlined.
Right.
And now, you know, I'll go in and I'll have an outline. And there's many nights when I go into an event and I end up somewhere totally different than I thought I was planning to go,
or
thought I was going. And I know that my higher self came in and said, you know what, for this group of people, go over here.
Mm-hmm.
And for this group of people, go over here. And again, trusting yourself enough
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, I'm good with that. I don't have to manipulate it and control every
mm-hmm.
aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work with people who write scripts for people and tell me, you have to do it this way, you have to do it this way, you have to do it this way. So it's a very interesting, you know, it's a very interesting blend of trying to put these two things together. And I'm all for, you know, running your business well and having structure. But you also have to have that trust that, hey, you know what? Today I'm feeling this, and I'm going to allow myself to go down that road, and then wherever it takes me. And maybe it will not create the results that you thought you were going to get. But as you just said with the butterfly, there was a lesson in it. At the beginning of this year, I'm a person who does not get sick. I'm very healthy. I've had many, many problems in my life. That's my one area that I've been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a really bad stomach virus, which put me on the floor, head in the toilet for days. And I will say to you that one of the most humbling things in the world is to be absolutely laid out on the floor and have your head in the toilet bowl for a couple of days and just feel like you're never going to get your head out of that toilet bowl.
Yeah, I've been there.
And it is a humbling, humbling experience.
Yes.
And what came out of it for me is feeling so sick was this thing I call prescription for peace now, because it was something that came out of me being really sick, mm-hmm. and it gave me this compassionate feeling for people who are going through illnesses, which I really didn't have as much because, not that I had such a bad illness, but because I was not sick a lot.
Right.
So again, everything that happens, even though you may say, wow, I did that really didn't work out the way I would have liked, understand that there was a reason behind it, because there was something you had to extract from that. So that's the thing I always say to people. Don't get attached to the outcome. Go in and do what you feel is the thing you want to be doing, and then accept the outcome and say, oh, okay, that helped me do something, instead of saying, ah, because most people get critical, they start beating themselves, oh, look what I did, I should have done this, I didn't make the sale, I didn't do this. So, again, always looking at it that way. What is happening? What did I do? I wanted to go down this road, I went down this road, it didn't work out the way I had planned, but there was something here for me to extract.
And as long as you keep doing that, you're good. Yeah, and what is perfect about that? So,
exactly.
And also, when you were saying that you go into some functions and don't even go the place you thought you were going to go that evening in your talks, it's because collective consciousness has pulled out of you what it needs from you. And
that's how
tuned in you are. And when you trust yourself, you are so connected to Source that you don't even age. I mean, people who are really, really connected to Source tend to look like 10, 15 years younger than they are. And it's because you're living so in the moment, so in the present, and when you're living in the present, the past has absolutely no power over you. And when you're taking collective consciousness and letting that pull out of you what the audience needs to hear, you are being the most wonderful instrument for wisdom and for lack of a better term, God, the universe, creator, source, all of that. You're being a facilitator of that. We were all born with that ability, and not everyone hears the call, and not everyone who hears the call acts on it. So those that do, I am so pleased and thrilled to share this planet with them. And all of the ones who are awakening through you and others like you, and myself included, it's causing the entire world to raise its frequency. And that's why we're here. And the greatest gift that you, Joe, could give to the world is your happiness, because that's a vibration that is very, very powerful. And our happiness is the greatest gift we can give to anybody.
Oh, you know, and of course, vibrating at that high frequency is contagious to others, as we've seen throughout life. When you get in with other people who have certain vibrations, and you feel better. And the reason a lot of people don't look well is because they have not trusted themselves, and
yes.
they don't go with, you know what, I don't like this job anymore. I want to do something else, or you know, this marriage isn't working out, or this girlfriend isn't working, or this boyfriend, whatever it is, you know. These are things that we have to start to accept, and we have to say, you know what, I have to have the courage to know that, you know, kind of walking forward. I'll never forget it. One of the Indiana, I don't know if you've seen the Indiana Jones movies.
Yes.
But in the one movie where he's finding the Holy Grail, I think it's the third one. You know, I kind of lose track of those. But there's one point where Indiana's looking for the Holy Grail.
Uh-huh.
And he walks up to the edge of this cliff, and there's you can't see the pathway across. And he realizes, he stands there, he said, oh, this is the leap of faith. I have to step here and know that there's going to be a road, that there's going to be the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the leap of faith, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He has this big, giant ravine, and of course, he takes the first step forward,
mm-hmm.
and the bridge appears right in front of him.
I love that.
So this is basically what we're doing. We're saying, oh, you know what? I feel like I should do this, but I don't see the bridge. But you have to trust that the bridge is there. So that's the part of it, of course, that for us is the most difficult, because we want everything to be, you know, this is what, you know what I find to be the funniest, and I lost a lot of money in the stock market too, but I don't care. But not that I don't care, but you know, I don't worry about it. But,
right.
But when I hear these people who planned everything to the T perfectly, that they were going to have so much money when they retired, they were doing this, and they had a certain job, and they were doing this, and all of a sudden, in one day, that entire world was shattered into a million pieces. So we had a guy we knew who worked for Lehman Brothers in his 50s, middle management, heavy six-figure income. All his money was invested in Lehman stock. Figured he was set for life. He was going to retire at 62, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, in one day, lost his job. His 401k went down 85%. He has no job. He has no income. He's on the street, and he's done. He's 55 years old. He's destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy that did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
According to the world, right? He did everything right. He was safe. He took a good job. He worked for a good company. I've had the same experience with people who I knew who work in banks, where they did all. See, so there's no guarantee that just because you thought you took this safe road, and I find this very interesting now for all these people who were on, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, and this is the safe road, and this is how you're going to set yourself up for life, are all looking at the world right now and they're saying, oh my God, what do I do now? I'm 50X years old. Or 40-something years old, and now I can't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lost my entire 401k, and my whole retirement money is gone, and I have to start to reinvent myself now. So, again, back to the same thing. You never know, even if you think you did everything in theory right, based mm-hmm. on whatever right is. That is a very, very interesting thing to watch. And
I'm
watch
sure it is. And we're coming up on our very last minute of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I told you this would go by fast.
Oh, boy, it did.
It did. And you know, what I'm hearing you say is that, and this is a Katieism, I used to say, I'll believe it when I see it. Now I say, I'll see it when I believe it. And that's why the bridge appeared for Harrison Ford. And that's why the bridge is going to appear for every person out there listening now who's going through a challenge. Ask yourself what's perfect about it. And find what's perfect about it, because something is, or it wouldn't be in your life at all. And it's a gift. And when you find the gift, the pain goes away, and you kind of go, oh, I get it. And then the rest of your life just shows up that same way. Ask yourself what's perfect about it. Joe, I want to thank you so very much for being on Spiritual Hollywood tonight. I will see you at the Bodhi Tree on, let's see, what day is that?
March 4th, and then March 7th, I'll be in Orange County, so
yep.
I will be out there, spiritualselling.com. Click calendar of events, and all those events are there for you to register.
Wonderful. And you said everything that I was just about to say, so thank you for that. You're so intuitive. So this has been Joe Nunziata, ladies.
Oh, I love that.
And thank you again for listening and for being with us this week, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So go out and create the life that you love. Bye-bye and good night.
Thanks, Kate.
You're welcome.